Good morning. Good to see everyone out this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're especially glad that you're here. You're our honored guests, and we look forward to an opportunity to get to know you better. My name's Benjamin Kirvin. I'm the Involvement and Community Outreach Minister. For those of you who might be guests with us today, I'm not the normal preacher, so that should give me a couple bonus points. Jonathan Jones, our preaching minister, has been invited to bring a lesson this morning at Jefferson Avenue congregation in Cookeville. They're doing through the spring and the summer, a series where they're inviting one guest speaker in per month, and so he's there sharing the word with them this morning. And it'll be my responsibility to share the word with you here this morning. Be sure to be back tonight at 6 p.m. for our assembly here. Our brother Danny Morris, the brother who directed our thoughts at the communion, will be bringing the message tonight. So I know that he'll have something very worthwhile and inspirational for us from the Word of God tonight at our 6 p.m. assembly time. Want to accomplish a couple things in our time together this morning. Obviously, we want to bring a lesson, but I also wanted to use this opportunity to bring the congregation up to speed on some outreach efforts that you've been hearing about, both in the newsletter, through some slides, and hopefully by word of mouth and through email too. But this was a good opportunity for me to kind of take an extended period and try to bring everybody up to speed with what's going on. As you've been hearing again over the last several weeks, we're going to be conducting and hosting a community clothing exchange on Saturday, April 25th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We're going to host that in the community outreach building here on our property. This effort is in conjunction with Inward Grace Ministries. That's a nonprofit organization begun by our sister, Lou Ann Stewart. Raise your hand, Lou Ann, if you want to know more about that organization. You can talk with her after the assembly. She's here this morning, and she was hoping to get some of her board members, but they had some other commitments this morning, so we look forward to getting a chance to meet them when we conduct that day. So you might be asking yourself, what is a clothing exchange? Because that's a little bit of a different terminology than you're used to hearing associated with an event like this. Well, in essence, it kind of works like a simple clothing giveaway, but we want people to participate with integrity. And we want people to participate with a joy of knowing that it's not about the haves and the have-nots. It's not about the people who are willing to be benevolent and the people who need benevolence. That kind of strains community. What we want to be is about sharing, about exchanging, if you will, what is needed in a spirit of love and partnership. Now, you don't have to actually donate clothes in order to receive clothes, but we wanted to provide that opportunity for people. For example, say you have a family. Maybe you are a family who with little ones, and they grow so quickly, it seems like you're shopping on Friday, you're dressing them on Sunday, and by the next Friday, you're shopping again because they've outgrown them. So maybe there's some families in that situation that need to exchange some clothing. Maybe you're looking to kind of get some new outfits. You started a new job, and you need some different things for that. Perhaps you've lost some weight, or maybe didn't lose some weight, and you've outgrown your clothes in either direction, and you want to re-gift those back to the community so your brothers and sisters can make use of those. Whatever that situation, that's what a community clothing exchange is all about. Now, anyone can participate in giving or in receiving the clothing. Those members here at the church, we want to encourage you to not only work on that day, but also receive from the bounty that's there. Contacts with Inward Grace Ministries, they're going to be invited, as well as they're going to be contacting the social service agencies and whatnot to make sure those who are in acute need for such services will be aware of that. But then also, we're going to be placing a special emphasis on our neighborhood connected to the church building. I feel very strongly about connecting with the neighborhood that our physical plant is connected to. I really hope that this, over time, that this congregation will be known as the neighborhood church. And so we're going to be inviting them through a mail-out and also canvassing that area just to try to start the connection with the relationships, let them know about the exchange date itself, see if they have anything to donate, and by all means inviting them to come participate if they need something for their family in the way of clothes. Now, there's several ways that you can get involved in this effort, and everyone in the congregation is encouraged to be involved in some work, some facet of it. The first way you can contribute was made obvious perhaps when you walked through the foyer this morning. This morning we begin our Containers for a Cause effort. We have an opportunity to help Inward Grace Ministries get off to a good start. And they need these storage totes to store clothes and to sort clothes for their ongoing ministry. And so there are about 45 totes out there in the foyer, in the lobby, and we'd like to purchase and donate them to them to get started in that work. And I know Lou Ann and the other folks are very, very appreciative of that. Now, some of those have already been purchased through advanced donations. Those are the ones that are in the first lobby when you walk in and have the little signs that say, hey, thank you, I've been purchased. But then there's also some other ones out there in the lobby that have some signs to say, please purchase me. Well, it doesn't really say that, but the totes are about $12 a piece, and so if you have not already found in the seat back in front of you, if not already found that envelope that says Containers for a Cause donation, and you've already placed that in the collection plate, we thank you for that. If not, go ahead and pull that out. If you want to make a donation to that, you can give it to Rob, one of our ushers out in the foyer following the assembly this morning. In today's newsletter, in today's bulletin, in addition to the front on the inside, on the left-hand side, you can see that there's a very detailed article explaining what's going on with these efforts. And some of you who have signed, marked an indication wanting to be involved with outreach efforts on our congregational survey, you've already received an email, if I had your email address, and already notifying you about that. If you want to be involved in some way in that, just email me back and I'll make sure you get are incorporated in. If you didn't happen to receive an email, didn't mark that on your survey, but still want to be involved, there's some sign-up sheets on the bulletin board just outside the office through these doors, kind of highlighting the different ways that you can be involved, all related there to that article in the bulletin. One in particular that I want to highlight that I think is very important, again, is I want to take special note of the canvassing effort that's going to take place on Saturday, April 11th from 9 a.m. to noon. That's going to begin with a breakfast, and we're asking those people to come out to help canvass the neighborhood, again, connected to the church property here. We just want to knock some doors, make sure that they have received the mail out, the information, and that they know in a personal way that they're invited to either donate, participate, and we're hoping that that will be the beginning of a relationship that we can follow up on in the months and the years to come. Todd and Sandy Heim are going to be spearheading that for us, and so I know they are looking for some help, and they're looking for folks who are willing to talk with our neighbors about the exchange. So sign up for that if you can be involved. We're going to be again accepting clothing donations next Sunday, and we'll do so right up to the exchange on the 26th. So clean out your closets. We need the things that are gently used but that you no longer have a need of. And let me encourage you, too, to talk with your neighbors. If there's anything that they would like to donate, you can bring that to the church for them. There are some postcards as advertisements if you want to grab some of these out in the foyer, if you want to make your neighbors aware of this. You can use those to do so. We're going to have a donation box that is going to be available right as you enter the church property, right off of Sherwood Drive there. You won't be able to miss it. We'll paint it up nice and bright in its colors. And so we're going to ask both our neighborhood and our family members to drop their donations off and just put it in that big receptacle. That way we're not lugging things in and out of the church building, and then we'll clean that out on a daily basis and store those until the time of the exchange. Whew. I know that's a lot of information. And so that's why I put it all in written form there in your newsletter. If you have any other questions or things that I could help you with, be sure to let me know. You can email me, you can give a phone call or talk with me after the assembly. I love to make sure that that everybody's on the same page with this great opportunity that we have to reach out into our community. You know, when I first came here, that was really on the hearts and the minds of the eldership, and as I've gotten to know you, that's really on the hearts and the minds of this congregation too. It's the good thing that Christ is creating in us. We want to make sure that we reach out in love to our greater community. Let's take a moment and pray about these and other efforts. Father God, we thank you for your gift of life. Not just the breathing in and out, not just the hours of the day, but real life. The love, the work, the relationship, both with those around us, but most importantly with you. Help us to make every breath count, to make every minute count, every relationship count. Father, as we set out on a deliberate course to increase our involvement with our neighbors, with our co-workers, with our neighborhoods, we ask your blessing. We ask for courage to get over the hump to actually do it. And we ask you for the words to say that will reveal Jesus Christ to people, first through relationship and then through word. We pray for the souls of those who need Jesus. And we do so humbly, knowing that we all need him so desperately. Thank you for the joy and the abundant life that is found in his name alone. Be with us this morning as we look into your word and as we sense and act upon the calling that you've placed on each one of us to go, to share, to love. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to be wrapping up a sermon series that Jonathan started at the beginning of the month that lobbies off of this year's theme, which is, I am the church. So we're going to look at a lesson this morning that we're entitling, Born to Travel. I think that this is an appropriate way to finish up this theme of I Am the Church, given these activities and these plans that we have to reach out into our community. Let's take a quick survey, if you will. So what I want to assess is who are our homebodies and who are our travelers. So if you are a homebody, you know, when you get home from work, you just want to kind of plant yourself. It's what you've been looking for all day. This is what you want. How many homebodies do we have with us this morning? Okay. All right. Loud and proud, right? Okay. So how many of us were born to travel? Just got to be on the go. You can't wait for the next adventure. You just love it. How many born travelers do we have? Okay. Well, that seems like a good smattering. We got born travelers, we got homebodies, and the rest of us kind of in the middle somewhere. Well, for the people who were born to travel, you know, it's not really a scary proposition. You know, it's exhilarating. It's meeting new people, sampling new foods, new experiences and places. It really feeds our soul in order to get out and have new experiences, right? Now, on the other hand, some of us love routine. We're the homebodies, right? We're comforted by the familiar. If something's out of place, something's got a place in our world. Home is where it's at. You know, the motto of maybe the homebody is, why travel when everything that I need is right here at arm's length? Right? Well, what's interesting is regardless of whether you're a homebody or whether you were born to travel or you're somewhere in the middle, we all travel when there is something important enough. When there's a purpose that grabs us, that's significant enough, we all travel, right? Now, I know a lot of you are in businesses where you travel, right? So when the boss says, hey, listen, I need you to fly out to, you go. When the boss says, I need you to take care of this meeting in this region, boom, you go, right? Also, when it comes to family, we would travel, right? Whether it's weddings, funerals, reunions, graduations, and this is the big one, right? All you grandparents, the grandkids, you travel for the grandkids. My parents just moved to town from Ohio to follow their youngest grandchild. I know, we travel when it comes to the grandkids, right? So when there's a greater purpose, we do. Here's the question I want to ask. I want this to kind of govern our thoughts this morning. What if the creator of the universe, the Lord of our faith and our brother, Jesus Christ, asked us to travel? Would it matter whether I was a homebody or I was born to travel? Would I do it? And that's really the question that's at the heart of this commissioning in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Let's look at that real quick again out of the New Living Translation. The second part of verse 8 says, you will be my witnesses. Jesus here speaking, you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The church. I am the church, you are the church. The church, the called out. Remember, Jonathan talked about that earlier in the series, this idea of church being from the Greek word ekklesia, meaning being called out. The church, the called out, become the sent out when Jesus says, listen, I want you to travel. I don't want you just to stay all grouped up. You've got to take a message out to other people. See, we're not saved in order to remain a holy huddle, as it were, or to center our faith here at the church house. But that's so easily to kind of fall into, right? I'm going to go do church on Sunday morning. I'm going to get together with the church on Wednesday night for Bible study. When's the last time that you've said or even thought, hey, a couple of my friends who are Christians are getting together to play cards at so-and-so's house. Hey, the church is going to play cards on Friday night over in so-and-so's house. But we've kind of learned through this sermon series that since I am the church, since you are the church, and since when we're together, Jesus is there too, he follows us around. But we're not meant to stay in a holy huddle. We're meant to travel. We're born, or better said, we're reborn to travel. If you want to pull that illustration in from what we looked at earlier, we could really say in a spiritual sense that our boss is sending us out on travel. Our father and brother, our family is asking us to move out of comfort, our usual circles, perhaps our routines, to take Jesus to the world. Now, once we get past kind of our general disposition, whether we're homebodies or we're travelers or not, I think there's really three basic and major reasons why we don't travel. I think this is true in a general sense when it just comes to our everyday tooling around or vacations, but I think it's also true in a missional sense. You understand what I'm saying by that? In a missional sense, when it comes to kingdom life, my work and my life as a Christian, I think these same three principles of why we don't travel apply. And I think they're illustrated in this greater passage that was read to us this morning. The first one, I don't think we travel sometimes because we're waiting for the perfect time. You ever catch yourself doing that? We're waiting for the perfect time. How many of you are waiting for things to slow down at work? For the kids to get old enough, for vacation days to accumulate, for your health to improve, to get on the other side of a major project, for you or your spouse to retire before we start traveling. It seems like we live most of our life in expectation of actually doing something rather than doing something sometimes. That's the way it seems to me. We wait for that perfect time. You see, I think the problem, though, is that we get in the habit of allowing the urgent or even the mundane to interrupt our travel plans. Even the first Christians allowed something similar to postpone their mandate to travel. Look at Acts chapter 1 in our text this morning, verses 4 through 5. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." There's no doubt that Jesus says, stay here and wait. Stay in Jerusalem. But did you know that the Christians stayed even past the gift? Even past the parameters in which Jesus outlined here? In fact, they stayed put so tightly that it took a persecution to dislodge them from Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 8, we read the account of Stephen, the first recorded martyr. We also get kind of a foreshadowing of a guy named Saul who becomes Paul after kind of a light and horse incident. And because Stephen is stoned to death, the scripture says a great persecution arose and they scattered. See, they heard Jesus say, wait, but allowed it to mutate into a license to park. So God had to help them along in this mandate to travel. You know, I think that if we wait for the perfect time to travel outside the church house to connect with our community and share Jesus with those we meet, it will never come. If we're waiting for the perfect time to get out and talk to my neighbors, if I'm waiting for the perfect time to show love to somebody, if I'm waiting for the perfect time to be involved in a ministry that's outreach-oriented, that time may never come because our definition of perfect is always changing, right? And let's be honest, we live in a fallen world where stuff is always going on. There's always going to be a reason that it's not the perfect time. Sometimes we don't travel just because we're waiting for the perfect time. I think another reason that we don't travel is sometimes we have confusion about where to go and what to do. We have confusion about where to go and what to do. Have you ever been party to this conversation? Where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? Well, I'm the one that asked, do you want to do something? Yeah, I want to do something. Well, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? Many a good evening out was spoiled by such a conversation, right? I can see it on some of your faces, you know, kindred spirits in this regard, right? What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? And then it kind of progresses, right? Well, how about, and then the other person says, well, it's too hot to do that. Well, what about when we do this? Well, that's too far. We could always, that's too remote. That's too crowded. That's too strenuous. And the list grows and grows and grows, right? Okay, now I'm seeing more compliers. Before, you were hiding before, but now I know you gave yourself up. There's this confusion. There is a confusion. When there's confusion over the destination and the purpose of your travel, it becomes easier just not to go. I've both experienced this and heard this from different brothers. The wife and I went to go out, and by the time we got done arguing about what to do, we just drove right back home, just watched TV the rest of the night. Even the apostles wrestled with embracing the clear kingdom purpose of spreading the gospel to an ever-widening circle of community. It's hidden here a little bit, but I want you to notice Acts chapter 1. Look at verses 6 and 7. So when the apostles were with Jesus, the context here is his earthly ministry is finished, he's been crucified, laid in the tomb, resurrected by the power of God, and now is walking amongst them for over a month, proving that he's been resurrected, talking to them about the kingdom. In one of those instances, it says, so when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, Has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? And he replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they're not for you to know. What you can't necessarily see in Jesus' words here in the written text is probably a certain level of frustration. You see, you might remember what has happened here is that the Israelites, because they were under Roman rule and they were kind of an occupied people, really believed when the Messiah came, he was going to be a political force, that he was going to oust the Roman Empire and set back up the kingdom of Israel and put a king back on the throne himself, the Messiah. Jesus dealt with this all through his ministry. The apostles didn't fully understand it. They would ask him about it, and he would try to tell them that his kingdom was not of this world, that it was something bigger. It was something spiritual, pervasive, went past time and space. They didn't get it, to the point that even when he was crucified, they were demoralized because they thought that the hope of the Messiah's reign had been dashed. All the while, he's telling them, no, my death is necessary to put me on the throne of God's plan. And so here, even afterwards, they're coming to him with a different purpose. He's trying to commission them to go out into ever increasing circles of influence and share the message of the gospel, to make disciples. And they get off track and say, you're going to kick out the Romans now, or is that coming in a week or two, or just wondering? They were confused about the destination and the purpose. You know, I don't know the travel destination that God is calling you to. You need to prayerfully seek an answer to that. According to the scripture in chapter 1 that we're looking at, your destination may be your own family, that very place where you live, your Jerusalem, your house. It may be your neighborhood, your workplace, your city, your county. In other words, those in your immediate vicinity, your Judea. Something a little bit beyond your house. God might be calling you to travel to the outcast, the downtrodden, the marginalized, the sin-ravaged, broken brothers and sisters in this world. He might be calling you to Samaria. The places you wouldn't necessarily ever go, the people you wouldn't talk to, the environments that you wouldn't get caught dead in, that might be where God's calling you. He might be calling you to travel to a different continent, calling you to an internet conversation with someone 4,000 miles away to live and be immersed in a different culture. He might be calling you to the ends of the earth. I don't know the travel destination that God is calling you to, but I do know that the church was mobilized to spread a message. Better said, to spread a Messiah. And I am the church. And you are the church. And that means that you were born to travel. Because Jesus says, go. Like the pebble that's dropped in the middle of a crystal clear and still lake with ever emanating ripples that go out from it. We were reborn to travel. I think a third reason that we don't travel is probably that we believe we don't have the resources, right? All of us have grand plans, but you're like, wow, I don't have the resources. I don't have the time. I don't have enough money. We haven't built up enough frequent flyer miles. To be honest, sometimes we just say, to be honest, I don't have the energy for that trip. whether it's taking the family to a national park or whether it's taking the love of Jesus to the other side of town, sometimes we just don't believe that we have the resources. And it's okay to be honest, traveling is costly. It is a course of choice and decision. Faith and courage are essential. Risk is unavoidable. When Jesus gives the first disciples their travel orders, he knows, God knows, how vital it is that they be well supplied and empowered for the task that he's giving them. And that's why when you look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it is just this commissioning to travel just doesn't come out of nowhere. Look how the verse begins. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere. I'm going to give you the power to do it. I'm going to give you the resources to travel. God infuses all his motivation, his power, his love, his truth into the life of the disciple, giving us divine resources to empower our travel. Now, I can see some of the disconnect on your faces. It's a disconnect that I feel sometimes too. Because you say to yourself, well, wait a minute. I'm a Christian, and it might not be cool to admit this, but I haven't really experienced anything like what I read about in the book of Acts. A movement of God where I felt like I was the tip of the spear, where I felt like I wouldn't be able to accomplish this if God weren't at the center of it, empowering it. I really don't even know if the powerful Spirit of God even indwells me. That happens to us sometimes, right? We read Scripture and we're like, wow, that is really powerful for them and there and that time with that going on. But what about me? I'm just kind of so far down the chain. Am I even really linked to that? You're part of a fellowship known as the Churches of Christ. If you know one verse, you know Acts 2:38, right? Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God, Peter says in 2:38, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not a matter if you have the Spirit or don't have the Spirit. You do have the Spirit of God resourcing your travel. So here becomes possibly the most important question that I ask myself and that you might ask yourself. Am I traveling anywhere far enough, uncomfortable enough, difficult enough, dangerous enough, important enough to require his power? See, it's not a matter of whether the Spirit of God indwells me and that I have the power to do things outside my comfort zone or outside my skill set or outside my will. It's, do I ever step out in faith enough to where he would have to be my sufficiency? Because when I look out, I see some pretty competent folks. See some strong folks, some smart folks, evidently some well-studied folks, because a lot of you have glasses on, so you must need those for some reason, right? So you all have competency. You all have sufficiency. You guys can get things done on your own power. But what happens if you never travel somewhere beyond your own power? What if I allow my roadblock that says, I don't really think I can do that. I'm not really comfortable with that. I've never really gone there. I've never really participated in that. I've never been in that circumstance before. And that becomes my barrier. And because I see my limitations run up against that barrier, I never travel beyond it. Maybe that's why I don't see the Spirit's work in my life. Maybe. About a year and a half ago, I was buying something on the internet. I think it was like sweeper bags or something like that. And this offer popped up for $9.95, pick any four magazines for a subscription for four magazines for the next year. Well, I know, I'm a pretty smart guy. I know how they get you with this, right? They get you with the $9.95, and then when you forget to cancel them, you know, then they hit you with it. But I'm smarter than the average bear, so I'm like, I'm going to put it on my phone to alarm me a week before these things, you know, renew, and I'm going to cancel all of them, so I'm going to go for it. So I get four subscriptions to magazines, and one of them is to National Geographic Traveler. Great magazine. I really, really enjoyed it. Talks about all the exotic places to go in the world, you know, articles by people who are taking pictures and giving hotel reviews, and they're in the middle of Bangkok and they find this little tea shop that you got to find, or they're in the Himalayas, or they're somewhere in the United States that you don't get to go, you know, there's just all these different places that they're traveling, and it's neat, and I'm looking at all the glossy photos, and I'm reading all the articles, and I almost feel like I'm traveling with them, right? They kind of suck you in. And then they, after a year, I kind of have the thought, reading a traveler's magazine didn't make me a traveler. You're like, duh, it took you a year to figure that out. I tell you what should have been my first clue. You know what I love to read and look at the pictures in the Traveler magazine? At night before I go to bed. So I'm laying in my pajamas, horizontal, looking at this magazine in bed, and then I fall asleep to it. That should have been the first clue that I wasn't a traveler. But I'm wondering if something similar happens to us when it comes to the missional traveler we're to be. I got my periodical open, and I'm reading through it, and I'm saying, amen, amen. Oh, I can just get a mental picture of what it would be like if that happened in our community. I can almost viscerally feel like what it would be like to be a part of being the traveler out into these ever-widening circles of community. But reading about Jesus commissioning missional travel doesn't make me a traveler unless I do it. And so this morning, I want us to come to grips with the truth that at some point, I have to travel. Whether I'm a homebody, whether I was born to travel and I have an adventurous spirit, or I'm somewhere in the shades in between. There's lots of implications for this morning. You're like, wow, he just spent a lot of time convincing us biblically that we should get involved in the community clothing exchange. That might be part of it. But it's more than that, right? It's about a lifestyle that says, I have been found by Jesus, and I want him to be found by others. And so if I have to get out and knock on a few doors and let them know that we're having a fancy named clothing giveaway in order to establish a relationship so that 6 months later I can go back to that same door and say, hey, listen, is there something we can pray for you about? Just so 6 months after that I can go back to that same door and say, hey, listen, how you doing? I want to tell you about Jesus. This is an evolving process for all of us, but it all begins with the decision to travel. So this morning, it's our tradition that we have an invitation song, right? It's usually our cue to start wrestling stuff and putting away bulletins and getting Bibles zipped up. And this morning, I want you to listen to this invitation, though. As usual, you can respond during the singing of this song. There's elders who are available to pray with you in the library. But I want this to be an internal evaluation, too. Is God calling you to travel beyond where you normally travel? Is he asking you to kind of stretch out a little bit? If so, I want you to respond in obedient faith to him and to him alone. Seek from him where he wants you to go and what he wants you to do. If you need to call upon myself or the elders or other people to help you find your niche and how to travel, then we want to do that. But my main interest this morning is that we all hear the voice of God calling us to share the most important message that was ever proclaimed, that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Let's stand and sing. Respond if you need to.